Good evening, everyone. Here we meet again after almost, a month? A month to another Chazak organization evening. And tonight I will speak, Bezrat Hashem, about many different things as usual, but the focus in the beginning, at least in the beginning, will be about the summer. We're already 1 month into the summer before we realize it came. It's a very dangerous time spiritually, the summer. I didn't come to speak on the weather, in case you thought. Summer brings a lot of problems to our life. Why? In the winter, you try to be tzaddik, it's a little bit easier. Because even though the ladies are interested to dress not so modestly, it's freezing. You gotta put a coat. The coat saved many guys on the street. They walk, everyone is covered with the coat. No. So even if somebody wants to make scenes, the freezing weather saves him from forbidden things. Summertime, it's a big difference. We say every day in a prayer, in Shema Yisrael, Lo taturu achre levavchem v'achre enechem asher atem zonim achareem. There's a serious warning in the Torah. Hashem warns all the Jews, not only the men, even though this is mainly for the men, to watch what enter the eyes. In the body of a person, we have 248 organs. The nose is one of them. The ears, it's two organs, one and two. The mouth, the eyes, each eye. Even though the eyes is not really here, it's here and here. That's where the eyes are. But each eye, it's one of the organs. Some of the organs in the face of the person are two-way streets. And some is only one-way street. What does it mean? The mouth takes things inside and can send things outside. When you talk, when you spit, things coming out. When you eat or you breathe, things goes in. The nose, things goes in. Sometimes things comes out. The ears, everything goes in. Nothing comes out of the ears. The eyes, when you ask a kid, is the eye is one-way street or two-way street? The answer is, what people say, one-way street. Whatever you see goes in. So we already learned in one of the lectures that it's wrong. The eye is a two-way street because there's ayin hara that can be so bad that it can kill people. That's how bad it can be. The eye of a person can send also, it's like a missile. If a person is jealous and is a negative person and he sends his eye around somebody, you don't want to be near him. Let's put it that way. But today we didn't come to speak about eye hara. Today I want to speak about the damages that the eye brings inside to the brain. When we read in Shema Yisrael, the Torah say, Lo taturu. In Hebrew, the word latur, it's like when Moshe sent the spy to spy the Holy Land, to see what's going on over there. So he sent them latur et haaretz. What does it mean, latur? To look around. To look, you look when you walk straight, you look what's in front of you. Latur means not to just look straight, to look around, to look for something. That's called latur. So the Torah say, Lo taturu achre levavchem v'achre enechem asher atem zonim achareem. The Torah goes from the end to the beginning. It describes the process in reverse. It should have been, Lo taturu achre enechem. Do not follow your eyes. The Torah says, do not follow the heart that follows the eyes. That's how it goes. If you follow your heart, the heart is following the eyes. Everything starts with the eyes. What goes inside, later you have no control what's going to happen. I'll give you a few examples. Usually when the Torah warns from not making sin, the Torah describes the name of the sin. Over here, the Torah described the name of the sin in a very special way. Lo taturu achre levavchem v'achre nechem. Do not follow your eyes. It could be for many different things. There's many things you're not allowed to see. Idols. You know, things of kfira, to read things like this. That's also bad things that you're not allowed to see. But the Torah didn't speak mainly about those things. The Torah used the verse, the word, Asher atem zonim achareihem. What's the meaning of the word zonim? How do you say the word prostitute in Hebrew? Zona. Zonim means follow the prostitutes on the street. Who is the prostitute on the street according to God's opinion? Not those who work in 42nd Street on other places, Hashem Yirachem. Those are already animals. It's not human beings. We're talking people who walk naked on the street or half naked to attract attention from the men. Hashem already described them as prostitute. Why? Prostitution doesn't start when a woman let a man touch her. It starts way before. In this generation, the way ladies were educated by their parents and the environment when they grow up, especially in a country like America, Europe, everything is very modern, open-minded. Rabbi, don't be primitive. We're open-minded. We are in the 21st century. Cannot live like the Torah demand 3,300 years ago, you know. Believe me, if Hashem would give the Torah today, you know how many rules He would change? He would allow us to walk with short pants. Come on, Rabbi, it's very hot today. It became humid. Like it wasn't humid 3,300 years ago. Or the body of the ladies were different. Or anything was different. Everything is the same. The mind of the person is the same mind. The body of the people are the same body. The sin is the same sin. There's only one thing changed in this generation. We lost the shame. We don't have busha anymore. I meet a lot of people almost every week that never heard once in their life what does it mean to have an embarrassment, to have busha, to have honor, respect. They always demand for people to do for them and they never get embarrassed. They have such chutzpah that you don't understand. How can it be that this person doesn't realize that he's basically sick? It's not normal. He's demanding and demanding, and one time you don't do it for him, he gets upset. He has the right to get upset. He gets angry at you like you owe him, like you work for him, like he hired you. So the Torah says, don't follow your eyes, asher atem zonim achareihem. If you're going to look at the ladies, you're going to do an act of znut, which what we call sex crimes. And that's the worst crime in the entire Torah. And the last time that in one of the lectures that I gave in Queens, I say that I'm considering to do a lecture about describing what happened in hell. But then I changed my mind because I had some pressures from the big rabbis not to do it. Why? Because the rabbis say even though there will be some Jews that as soon as they hear this lecture, they become fanatic for the rest of their life. And they won't ever need somebody to push them to become religious. After they see what's going on over there, they'll become strictly fanatic without any help anymore. At the same time, there will be a lot of people that cannot handle the truth and it will break their spirit. When they see how strict is the punishment of Hashem, they won't be able to tolerate it. So we decided to give it up. Even though I never intended to put it on the internet for the public, I was considering maybe to do a password and to decide who to give it to and who not. But then I saw that it's not realistic. But just to give you one hint, in hell there are 7 different sections. The 6th one, it's one below the last one. Now above, one above. It's one below the other. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The 7th one is the worst. The 6th one is one just before the worst one, which is very, very severe. Who goes there? All the sex crimes that the Torah has. All the sex crimes goes to one category, which is almost the worst place that you can imagine. I don't want to go into details. According to the punishments of the Torah, we know how severe is the sin. Nobody goes there if he did not wash his hands before he ate bread. It's also a sin to eat bread without netilat yadayim. But nobody goes there for that. Even a murderer doesn't go there. Sex crimes is rated in the worst sins in the Torah. What are the worst sins in the Torah? Worshipping idols. We understand that. It's perfectly understandable. Second thing, what is the next one? The next one is Chilul Shabbat. Not keeping Shabbat is one of the worst sins in the Torah. What other sins? Eating chametz in Pesach. It's a very severe sin. And among the top list, the worst list, is all the sex crimes that describe in the Torah. Even a person that lives with his wife and she doesn't go to the mikveh, she's not pure, she doesn't go after the time of the period into the spring water or the natural waters that goes into the hole, as the pit that the Torah described, that's also one of the worst sins in the Torah. Many of the sins that we do comes for one reason only, ignorance. Not that we are evil. I actually do believe, that most Jews don't do those sins because they're bad or they're evil. They just do it for two reasons. Main reason is ignorance. It always plays a role, ignorant. And second is the Yetzer Hara, the desire, the evil inclination. Many of the Jews, as soon as they commit a sin, later they regret it right away. A minute later, a second later, as soon as it's over, they begin to eat their heart and it burns, which is good. Because when a person makes a sin and it eats his heart and he's ashamed and he's disappointed from himself, right away some of the punishment is erased immediately. Why? Because a part of tshuva is to regret, to have guilty feelings. Somebody told me last night in Great Neck in a lecture, I don't think that God wants us to live under pressure, to have guilty feelings. So I told her, dear, I have news for you. 80% of the Torah is guilty feelings. You want to take it out of the Torah, just you might as well cancel Judaism and that's it. Let's become Christians. Even Christians have guilty feelings, even though they follow a false religion. But they have guilty feelings. If you don't believe in Yoshke, JCPenney will save you. They force you to have guilty feelings. It's a part of the religion. Why Hashem is so strict about lack of modesty, no holiness? Why? Why does He care so much about it? Because we are not animals. God doesn't punish the animals for being not modest. The animals can be in the middle of Fifth Avenue, in the middle of all the jungle with everything around. They never get punished for that. A person can be with his wife that she's permitted to him in a public place and don't behave 100% modest and they're subject to a punishment. Why? You are not animals. Holiness, you know, in other religion, relation between man and woman is muktzeh. It's something that you're not allowed to learn about, to talk about. It's excluded completely from their life. That's why Christians wanted to make their priest holy. So they made them born alone and die alone, without a wife. Even though the first mitzvah in the Torah is to get married and to have children, I guess they skipped, they started from the second mitzvah. Not that they keep any mitzvah, but that's what happened to the Christian church today. As results of man-made law, they violate the rules of Hashem. Hashem said that a man needs to get married with a woman. He needs a woman. That's why Hashem created a woman. If a woman wasn't necessary, He wouldn't create her. All of us would be priests. Might as well, if that's the right way, no? But according to Jewish Kabbalah, you don't know. There are books, very thick books, speaking about intimate relationship between man and a woman, how holy it can get. And God forbid, how impure it can get, depend on the free choice of a person. If the person is clean-minded and holy and righteous, it's counted as one of the highest mitzvot. If a person is filthy like an animal, it counts like one of the worst sins in the Torah. It's all free choice, 100%. So how a person makes it holy? He learns the laws. He learns how to become holy. Rule number one in the Torah when it comes to this, watch your eyes. Why it's so important for Hashem that a man will watch his eyes, not to look at the ladies on the street? Even a lady that he wants to marry her, he has nothing negative. Somebody offered him a shidduch, and he wants to see if this girl is his taste, if he would like her, if he's considering to go out with her on a date. He's only allowed to look at her 1 second, and every second after it's a sin. Not only that, yes, just to see, I like her, yes, it's enough, let's go on a date and talk in a date. To look at her beauty and enjoy from it, it's only permitted if she's your wife. Why? As I told you, relationships start already spiritually when a person look at one at each other. That's why the Torah said that you're not allowed to look at the face of a wicked person. What do you care? I walk on the street, there's millions of wicked people walking by. Not allowed to look in their face. They're affecting you negatively. The more wicked people you look in their face, the more your spiritual level goes down and down. Why? It's affecting you. Looking at images of people, it's affecting you. Looking at some animals, it's also affecting us. So that means watching things, it's a big danger if you're not supposed to. Tomorrow I have a lecture in Brooklyn. I know you're not going to bother to go all the way to Brooklyn, but in case you happen to be there, I'm going to speak Bezrat Hashem about conscious and subconscious. To give you a preview why I'm mentioning it now, the main reason why Hashem told us not to look at certain things, it's obviously to keep ourselves holy, but there is another reason for it. Once a person saw a not modest woman or anything that is not allowed to look, even though a minute later he already made tshuva and he cries and he prays and he asks Hashem to forgive him and he promised never to do it and he will never ever do it again, that's a hero. What a tzaddik. Once in his life he made a mistake, a minute later he made tshuva and never repeat the same mistake twice. I wish we would be like this, never to repeat our mistakes. So, somebody like this, already the damage is done. Why the damage is done? Because everything a person sees in his life, in this life, and in previous life, is recorded in his subconscious. You cannot erase it from your record, from your storage. It's there 100%. What is it like in your computer? If you go to Google and check for all kinds of things, even 5 years later, as soon as you put the first two letters, it comes out. What happened to the computer? It doesn't want to forget it? He remembers it. Now the computer, there is a way to go inside the disk and erase it permanently, even though the FBI can always restore it. You see, even in a computer, it's there forever. Somebody told me that his computer fell into the water. What do you think? Something like this is completely finished. They were able to store information from the disks. I don't know how. Now, if it's by the disk, which is material, think about our soul. Everything is there. What's the proof? Hypnosis, hypnotizing people. You take a person, you hypnotize him, you take him back. It's called regression. 500 years reverse to the year 1500. He speaks in Spanish. Where are you in Spain? What are you doing? He describes life, what he does. And he will tell you right now, who does he see? And if he see a woman, he's going to tell you today that he's seeing a woman when? In the year 1500. And if she's not modest, 500 years later, it's still in his computer. There's no way to erase it. Tshuva can erase the punishment, but the damage that it does to the psychology of the person, it's impossible to correct. The more bad things you see, the more it's going to affect your choices in your life. I'll give you an example. Let's say you decided to buy a lawn machine. You want to do your own grass, especially today when the gardeners are very expensive and nobody makes money. All of a sudden, you see more and more owners cutting their own grass. which is good. It's good. It gets you into shape. Plus, you save $50. What's the problem? Walking 20 minutes, like walking to the gym. He doesn't want to do his grass, but 2 minutes later, he goes to the gym to run. You might as well run. You save yourself money. So anyway, you never saw a machine. Somebody gave you a machine. You appreciate very much, even though the machine is nothing good. It doesn't drive by itself, it doesn't have features, whatever. Since you don't know anything better, for you it's a gold mine. It just saves you whatever money and you like it and you run with the machine. What happened if you worked on 30 different machines prior to the gift that you got? You don't want to work with that 1 minute. Why? You already so experienced with other things that it's so much better, you don't appreciate the machine you just got. Who understands the analogy that I just used? Where does it lead me to? I give you an example. Religious kids, when they get married, it's very simple. Balei tshuva, it's a nightmare to get married. Why? Even though now he became holy and already 3 years he's in yeshiva and he's learning and he's watching his eyes for 3 years, became a holy man. Every date he goes, he can never make a decision. Why? He saw 50 different ladies in his life. This girlfriend and that neighbor and friends from kindergarten. So every time he wants to communicate with a girl, he's getting confused with all the things that he has in his subconscious. She's not like her, she was prettier, she's taller, she's skinnier. It drives him crazy. I speak to these guys, I see what goes through their mind. But a religious boy, from the minute he was born, they educate him to watch his eyes all his life. And he never spoke all his life to another woman. He's not speaking to her. If he goes to the supermarket, she's not going to ask him, excuse me, what time it is? It doesn't work like this according to the Torah. Ladies are in one side and the men on a different side. Some places, even the streets, one side for the ladies, one side for the men. That there won't be any accident. A kid like this, they go on a date one time. It's enough. They fall in love, they get married, they never have problems. You wonder, how can it be? Why? Because the mind of a person is set to love almost every woman that he will go on a date for the first time. 99% of the time he would love her and she would be perfect for him. However, if he already had experiences from the past, the system doesn't work anymore. Problems. The computer is confused. Chinese, Japanese, Hebrew, English. Computer doesn't know what you want. Why? You didn't follow the instruction of the manufacturer. That's what it is. And that's why you wonder, how is it possible this Hasidim, they date for 20 minutes and a week later they make l'chaim? How can it be? They have the lowest divorce rate in the whole world. The more you date, the more confused you become. Not like some people think. I don't know her yet, Rabbi. We only went out 71 times. It's not enough. I have news for you. I have an article. I wish I would bring my computer. I could show it to you. I saved it in my computer, an article. Who has the highest divorce rate? Those who used to live together for many years before the wedding. They have the highest divorce rate. And it's interesting. When they come to the Rabbanut to say what's the reason of the divorce, it's things that could be detected easily before the marriage. You live together. How didn't you know that it stinks? How didn't you know that he's angry? What, you live with him for 7 years, you didn't see it? Here comes the secret of your life. When Hashem created the world, he put in the heart of each one of us what we call the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. After Adam made the sin, he went inside to the heart. Before, he was an external power. After the sin, it went into the heart of the person. That's where the Yetzer Hara is. That's why you always feel fire inside the heart for the desires that a person has. After the evil inclination went in, there is an angel who is in charge of the evil inclination of every person in the world. What's the name of this angel? The Satan, the Satan. Chazal say the Satan, the evil inclination, the judge, the one who comes to testify against our sin, it's all one angel. is in charge of all the bad. That's his job. Don't blame him. That's the job Hashem gave him. The Satan is very, very clever, very experienced. He's here 5,769 years already. He fooled billions before us. We cannot surprise him. He's seen everything. Everything you think he can do against him, he already saw. But the Satan has a very, very interesting trick how he fools the people. In Hebrew it's called Maim Gnuvim Imtaku. Stolen water are sweeter. That's a foundation in the psychology of the human mind. Never forget this. Stolen water are sweeter. What does it mean? You have two bottles of water. One you paid $1 for, and one you grab like this and put in your pocket. Which one is sweeter? You enjoy better than the one you stole. What's the proof? I'll give you the proof. A person date a girl, like goyim. They live together like husband and wife without kiddushin. Usually they have beautiful harmony. It's a fact. They live already 3, 4, 7 years together. One day they decide to make it legal. They come, they call the rabbi, they make tuba, l'chaim, everybody is dancing. And 2 weeks later, they already come back to the rabbi. Now they want to separate. They're fighting already for the car. It's 70% of the couples like this. Within 4 years, they get divorced in this generation. Within 4 years. So the question is, how is it possible that all these people have very foolish excuses that they didn't see it for 7 years? And the answer is, this is the job of the Satan. The Satan blinds the person that when he does something that it's a sin, he doesn't see anything negative about it. He lives with a woman that is in a sin, the Satan makes peace and harmony between them. He gives him idea, get her flowers, buy her a new car. The harmony is great. Just when it became legal, his job is over. That's it. It's not a sin anymore. He's very upset. He's programmed in a way that when you do something that makes Hashem happy, when you marry your wife in a kosher way, you put a ring and you give her ketubah, and 2 witnesses sign on a ketubah, and now you move in together and you live like finally like human being, the Satan is very upset. No more harmony. He removed the screen and you begin to see reality. What happened until now? You couldn't see. You couldn't see that he stink. You couldn't see that he's stingy. And even if you saw a little bit, the Satan made it pink, red, beautiful, shiny. It wasn't so bad. As soon as the Satan finishes his job, you get the shock of your life. What? 7 years I'm with this guy. I didn't see all this? You didn't see because the Satan didn't let you see. Chazal says, "En apotropus la'arayot." No one is saved from falling into the trap of sex crimes and misbehaving. Nobody is protected. Even the biggest rabbi in the world, if he's not going to follow the rules of Hashem, he's going to fall into that trap. And we saw cases like this in history, that some accidentally didn't follow one of the rules, and one thing leads to another. When Hashem say, watch your eyes carefully, because this is the way the process is. First, the information goes from the eyes into the brain. Inside the pupils of the eyes, the doctors will tell you that whatever you see, it looks from the back of the eye upside down. Small and upside down. Why in Hebrew, how do you call pupils, you know? Ishon. Ishon, you know what the word ish means? Ish? Ish, it's a man. Ishon is a little man. Why we call it Ishon? Because everyone you look at, instead of 6 feet, you look 1/6 of an inch. Very small person inside your pupils. And interesting, it's the upside down. But by the time it goes into the brain is functioning in a way that everything that comes upside down, the brain see it in a normal way. It's interesting. Why Hashem made it? It wasn't a problem for Hashem to make the eye see you straight, and the brain understand that you're straight, you're standing on your feet. Why it had to become upside down, and then the brain turn it again to the normal position? Why? What's the benefits of this? The answer is to teach you that this world is the world of illusions. It's all a lie. You think that everything is shining, is really nice, but reality is that that's not the case. All the people that smiles to the camera in Hollywood, almost each one of them are drug addicts, alcoholics, having problems, attempted suicide once, twice, 10 times. They're all miserable. None of them can stay married more than a month or two. It's all a show to the camera. All their life is flashy, showing life. Besides money, they have nothing. You may think, okay, maybe money makes a person happy. We see that it's not the case. Many of them killed themselves and they left hundreds of millions of dollars to whoever wants to take it. They don't care. They were very upset. The only way to be happy is to listen to the creator of happiness. He's the only one who knows the way how to become really happy. And what's the secret? To be connected to the Torah. Torah, it's antibiotic to the evil inclination, to the infection that we have inside our heart, inside our brain. The only thing can cure and purify it, it's the Torah. If you're connected to it, Torah and Musar and Tehillim and Parashat HaShavua and Gemara and Zohar and Kabbalah and all the Yichudim that the Mekubalim said, it makes you a different human being. And if you don't believe me, give me any guy that you want, a wild beast. We'll put him in a yeshiva in Muncie for 1 month. You don't need 30 years. 1 month. And you come after 1 month, and not only you admit that I'm correct, you take your head off. Why? It's a wonder. It's a miracle. Hard to believe. See guys coming to the yeshiva, anti-religion, tattoos, hairs, earring here, 5 earrings in a tongue. I don't know how he eats. Unbelievable thing. A month later, he took all the hair from here and put it here. Very nice. Different person. He used to wake up at 12 in the afternoon. 7 o'clock, he's already in a shul. After mikveh. Light on the face of the people. You can't believe it. Quiet, calm down, humbled. Not after food. 1 month they didn't see naked ladies on the street. Their brain already purified completely almost. They can focus on the Torah. They can concentrate. They love the mitzvot. When you see things you're not supposed to see, it's affecting every step you make. You want to put tefillin, it's very difficult. You want to give tzedakah, it's very difficult. Because your soul is contaminated and people don't realize it. There are a few things that contaminate the soul. The worst is seeing not modest things. The worst. What's the second worst? Eating non-kosher things. Worshipping idols. Following crooked ideologies. Avodah Zarah. And many other sins, of course. But those are the things that when you see, if you go to a seminar, 3 days, people begin to eat kosher food. After 3 days, it changed completely. In the first day, when they come to the seminar, they don't let the speaker say a word. Everything he says, they jump. No, baloney, don't tell a story. The next day, half enough. The third day, they have already tzitzit, they dance with the rabbi, he kiss the rabbi's beard. Just 2 days, you wanted to kill him. And sometimes it's not such a great seminar. Nothing. They didn't really say anything to prove or, you know, it was more a weekend together. What changed? He began to eat strictly kosher. The blood changed. It's a different blood. The blood that goes into the brain, the soul is in the brain, if you didn't know. The blood that goes into the brain is a pure blood, not what it was before. The car is driving a lot smoother. It's better gasoline. In the army, we used to put airplane gasoline into the tractors. Why? The tractor drive 10 miles an hour. Who has patience now? You want to take all the bombs all the way from the bunkers to the F-16 planes, which is far away, let's say a quarter mile. You have to go back and forth. Every bomb you want to bring, you have to go back and forth, and the car doesn't move. You want to finish already. Why you want to finish? Because you want to play basketball. You want to lay down. You're tired of walking. So what do? You take gasoline of the F-16, you put it in the engine of the tractor. It drives now 20 miles an hour. But every 2 months, the engine of the tractor is exploding. Finished. Every 2 months, they need a new tractor. Why? When the tractor doesn't get the right gasoline, it doesn't function. What do you think? That's the way we are. Gemara says story, Abaye, he heard his neighbor, a man, he's going with his donkey and his carriage from Jerusalem to Lod, to a city. How far is Lod from Jerusalem today, from the airport to Jerusalem? 20 minutes with a car. Takes probably 2 days with a donkey. If you have a donkey, slowly, slowly, you know, remember there was no road like today with lights. They had to travel only the day, and they have to go in a forest, in between the trees, climbing on rocks. The wheel is breaking. They have to replace the wheel. It's not so simple. So it's 3 days to be in a carriage with a donkey. And there's a neighbor, a girl, that she also has to go there. So she asks the neighbor, can I get a ride with you? We say yes. How are you going to walk all the way from Yerushalayim there? Yeah, I can give you a ride. Abaye was one of the biggest rabbis in the world. Every chapter in the Gemara, his name is mentioned. He's buried next to Tzfat with his chevruta, Abaye and Rava, in one cave. Abaye heard such a thing. He said, you know what? These two for sure will make a scene. 3 days together in a car together. En apotropos la'arayot. Who's going to be able to pass such a test? I can't let it happen. It's karet. Karet for the soul. How can I let these two Jews finish their olam haba in one night? Lose everything. The Torah say that you are a guarantor for your Jewish brothers and sisters. All of us is one unit. So he decided to follow them. An old rabbi following them, running after the carriage day and night. When they finally got to the city that they wanted to get, he has to make a right and she has to make a left. So the man goes to the woman. It was nice. Thank you. Goodbye. Have a successful trip. I'll see you back in town when we go. That's it. It was all polite. No, everything was proper. Very good. So what happened? Abaye was sitting on the floor and crying. One of the Jews went by, saw. Wow. Imagine you see the biggest rabbi in the world sitting in 108th Street in the street on the corner. Rabbi, what happened? No, don't ask. What happened? You see that guy over there? Yeah. You see that girl over there? For 3 days I'm following them. They went together from Yerushalayim all the way to here with the donkey, with the carriage. Guy got very nervous. Who knows what happened? So Rabbi, what did he see? He said, nothing. They just got to this intersection. He went right and she went left. So they didn't make a scene. The guys, no. So why are you crying? Get up, let's dance. So you don't understand, huh? Don't get it, why I'm crying. So if I would be 3 days with this girl in this carriage, I will make a scene with her. This guy over there is better than me. The biggest rabbi in the world. He say, if I would be in a plane, in a car with her for 3 days, I wouldn't be able to. En apotropos la'arayot. The Satan is a genius. What do you think? Even if you're not thinking about it, you're 100% righteous. The Satan is going to fool you before you realize it will be too late. Just a minute later, you realize the sin is done. When you kill a person, it's always, almost always, a minute later you regret it. Wow, what have I done? Can you bring him back to life? Go and try to correct such a thing. And even if you make tshuva, what about the orphans, the widow, the chain reaction of how many people are suffering because of 1 second mistake? Go and try to correct it. That's the categories of all these crimes. The Gemara say one guy saw a beautiful girl in his neighborhood. He was watching her from the window. And somehow he fell in love with her, you know, fell in love. So what happened? He comes to the girl, he say, would you marry me? She say, what? How they say today, you're not my type. Don't waste my time. The guy gets very insulted. He becomes depressed. He takes Prozac. One for morning, one for evening, two for the afternoon, one before the meal, one inside the coffee. Try to smile after all. He comes to his doctor. He tells the doctor, doctor, if I don't get this girl to marry me, I'm killing myself. I'm coming to warn you that you should know. I don't know what you can do. Talk to her. Do something. It's pikuach nefesh. If you see me dead tomorrow, you know why. The doctor got very nervous. In the old days, people used to evaluate life. Not like today. They got used to death. But the doctor got very nervous. He ran to the rabbis. Rabbis, I have a case of pikuach nefesh. Life risk. The guy fell in love with his neighbor. He doesn't want to make sins with her. He wants to marry her, but she doesn't want. So the rabbi said, okay, so what do you want us to do? To force her to marry him? It's impossible. He said, no. My patient, he just told me that if she doesn't want to marry him, at least she will walk next, in front of him, that he can see her once a day, maybe he will relax his yetzer hara. The rabbi said, tell your patients to die, but she won't walk near him. Now, we're not talking the way women dress today. These women used to dress from covered from head to toe. Covered. Just to walk, knowing the guy may have a thought about her, the rabbi say, let him die, we'll say Kaddish for him tomorrow morning. Tell him she won't walk. Then they said, okay, the guy said to the doctor, you know what? Tell the rabbis, she doesn't have to walk for me, but I want to stand in one side of the wall, and she will stand beyond the wall, and we'll talk 5 minutes a day. How's the weather? How's your father feeling today? Did he make it to Shachrit? Not to talk bad things. They come to the rabbi, rabbi, you approve that such a thing? The rabbi say, let him die, and she won't speak to him 5 minutes beyond the wall. That's what we call today telephone calls. Rabbi is my friend. He's in Florida. I'm just talking to him. He's friends. You know, we grew up together. It's against the halacha. It's against the halacha. Many of the friends that knew each other 10, 15 years eventually made an isur karet. It's a fact. How come? They knew each other for 15 years. Friends, not friends. The Satan is smarter than all of us. So the Chachamim say, let him die. You know how much the Torah specify, how much you have to do to save the life of a Jew, even to be Mechalel Shabbat to save his life, you're allowed. If he has 105 fever, and he begins to sweat, and he's dizzy, and yeah. He's vomiting, whatever. If he got something hit him on his head. It's a 1% life risk. Fever. Throwing up. Whatever. You take your car. You started on Shabbat. You take him to the hospital. So what's the big deal? Let the girl speak to him 5 minutes about the weather. The Knicks won last night. What? Who cares? Problems with modesty. Hashem cannot compromise even 1 second. The Torah say, "V'aya machanecha kadosh." Your camping, your camp where you're living, your neighborhoods, your buildings today, has to always be holy. If something goes wrong, v'ra'a becha irvat davar v'shav me'acharecha, me, God, cannot enter your territory. If something goes wrong there, which means the ladies are dressed not modestly, what happened? I stay away from that place. Let's analyze this together. You go to a mixed wedding. All the ladies, Bukharian music, Persian music, they go left, right. They forgot to get dressed. They pay 10 times more that the dress won't have too much. You know, make it light. They pay 10 times more money. In the end, they go and make scenes. Married women. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying for the Chatan and Kala. The first day of their marriage, 1 billion scenes goes to their account. What a way to start a life. 1 billion scenes. Don't ask me how I know 1 billion. If you want, I'll sit with you until tomorrow and prove to you how it adds up. The problem is not the quantity of the sins. It's the quality of the sin. 1 sin can be like 1,000 other. Not every sin is equal. Cannot compare, like I said, murder of stealing $5 is not the same punishment. It's not the same sin. Problem with holiness is the worst sins. And it falls into a new category. It's called Machti Arabim. Every woman is a potential atomic bomb. An atomic bomb kills everybody. There's no control who to kill. Conventional bomb, you can control who you want to kill. You want to kill the tenant of this building, so you kill this building. That's it. You want to kill in Tel Aviv, you want to kill in Gaza, you kill over there. You don't kill in New York. Atomic bomb, you can control who's going to kill. A woman that dressed like this on the street, she control who's going to see her or not? Who has bad thoughts about her? It's not in her hand anymore. But everybody who looked at her today goes to her file. Multiply by million, 5 million, 10 million. If it's on a video, Hashem Yerachem. In religious wedding, you don't have video of the girls. Only the sides of the men. What religious woman agreed to dance in front of this guy with this camera in the women's section? How can it be? If I see Chas V'Shalom, my daughter ever consider this, I'll fall on the street and faint. Or maybe get a heart attack. Did she agree to dance in front of Chris? The holy Chris. That he will sit in his laboratory and see it 5 million times. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't listen to our prayers. Rabbi, I'm lighting Shabbos candle every Shabbos. It's also something, yeah, but can you describe how you dress while you're doing it? Everything cut, here, there. Hashem doesn't come to listen to you. She goes like this to the candle 5 million times. My husband Raphael, my son Yaakov, my son Avram. Why are you wasting your time? Forgot to get dressed. Hashem cannot enter your place. There's no kedusha in the house. Why are you wasting your time? That's what happened when you try to make a cake without reading the ingredients and the order. How to make the cake. You throw the sugar in, the salt, the yeast, everything together, and you expect to have a Shabbos cake. This is our life. And then they wonder, Rabbi, why my kids, all of them are divorced? Because 20 years they watch dirty things in your living room. Now you expect them to like their wives? How can he like his wife when he saw 5,000 different hours on the screen? How, when his brain is so contaminated? When you're going to need 1 million years to clean all the dirt that he has in his subconscious. How you expect him to have clean marriage? Not to talk about the ladies. But this is it. The psychology of the woman that Hashem made her connected to the first man she knew. And everything after it's secondary already. It will never be the same. And that's why a lot of our marriages do not look like the Torah described marriage. We wonder, what's going on here? Why I can't make it better? It's not in your hand anymore. The damage is done. What's the solution? You can always make things worse. The solution is to behave exactly like the Torah, not 80%. Some sins, it's one individual sin. I'll give you an example. You stole $5. The damage is one damage. All you have to do, take the $5, bring it back to the guy. I'm sorry, I stole $5 from you. Please forgive me for the inconvenience, the aggravation I caused you. Would you forgive me? Yes, thank you for being honest. He takes the $5. It's like it never happened. No impression is recorded in your soul. Some sin not only stays forever, it's affecting different fields in your life. Modesty is the number one of all the damages that you can have when it comes to sins. Why? It's affecting every aspect of your life. It's affecting your marriage. It's affecting the children's education. It's affecting what kind of children you're going to have. It's affecting the peace between you and your husband. It's affecting what goes into your neshama, into your brain. It's affecting different things in the house. So many things are affected by it. So many things. And there's no way out. In this generation, when we forgot how to get dressed and how to behave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu show us the filthiest goyim in the history, the biggest murderer, the biggest liars, how their ladies are dressed. We have to see it to get embarrassed. I wish at least we get the message. When you see Fatma and Saida, when they come with their babies with a bomb and throw the baby on the soldiers to kill them, pay attention how she dressed, this Fatma and Saida. You should be embarrassed how your wife is dressed, or your daughters, or your mother. When Hashem sends us the messages from these filthy people, what does He expect us to see? This murderer, his wife is modest more than my wife. How can I sleep at night? I'm the son of Hashem, the one who invented holiness. I am His son. My wife is not like this. And this murderer female, the mother of a suicide bomber, she dressed more modest. How can it be? We have the Torah. Where do you think they learn how to dress? From which book? Which book? When is the first time in history that people found out the law of modesty? What came first, the Torah or the Quran? The Torah is 2,000 years older. All their ideas in the Quran, for instance, not to eat pig, they learn in the Torah. Not to take interest. They have Muslim banks. They don't take interest one from another. Where they learn this idea of not charging interest? In the Torah. Eye for an eye, hand for an hand. All these concepts in the Torah, they learn from the Torah. Modesty, they learn from the Torah. To eat certain things, not to eat certain things, it's all come from the Torah. To have one day that it's holy, the idea of that, they chose Friday, but they learned the concept from the Torah. Everything they go and learn from the Torah. Now we have to learn from them. They imitated the Torah, but we forgot about the Torah. This is how it works. The order in the creation of the world is first comes the wish of Hashem. What Hashem wants? What Hashem wanted? The wish of Hashem. Hashem wants something that comes before everything. How is the process? This is A. What's B? B is the purpose. Hashem wants something to happen. Why Hashem wants something to happen? Because He has a reason for it, right? Hashem made a woman. Why Hashem made a woman? Because He wanted the man to have a partner in life, companion. But Hashem wanted the woman to be a little bit lower in her level than the man. In some things, she's higher. But when it comes to the final decision in a family, He wanted the man to be the boss. I know it's not feminist enough for you. But I'm sorry, I write what the Torah says, not what you think. I follow Hashem's instruction. He made man, He made a woman. He made a Jew and He made a goy. He's the manufacturer and He made the laws. So because Hashem wanted a woman to come to be together with a man, lo tov heyota adam levado, Hashem says it's not good enough for the man to be alone. I need to make him an helper, an assistant, a partner. So I'm going to make a female. And since I want them to continue to have children, I would make them able to bring children. So I make a male and a female. And together it's a perfect set. But I want the woman to know her place. So I have to create her from the man's rib. Why? That she always understands that if the man was not created, I wouldn't have life. So the purpose is that the man will have an assistant. So Hashem made a woman from the man. What's the next thing? This is how it works. Retzon Hashem, Hatachlit, the wish of Hashem, the purpose, the shape, the image. The image. The carpenter wants something to eat on it. So he wants to be able to put his plate on something that will be easy to eat. So since he wants to be able to eat comfortably, that's the purpose, he makes a table with four chairs in a certain height. That's called the tzura, the image. Why the table is not all the way from here to Queens Boulevard? Because you don't need it. It doesn't serve the purpose. What's the purpose? You need 3x3. 3, 4 people. One, if you have 10 people in your family, so you make the table a little bit longer. So comes the shape, the tzura. Then the material. After the creator decide the image, the limitation of the object that he's about to do, comes the ingredient of the material. For instance, for a table, you need something hard. So it's going to be aluminum, it's going to be wood, it's going to be everything that is hard. You cannot make a table from wool or from nylon. It's not going to hold the plates. So this is how it goes. When you put a seed in the ground, inside that little seed you have everything. You have the wish of Hashem. You have the purpose. You have the shape. And you have the material. Everything is in the seed. Soon it's going to be a tree, trees, that's the purpose, the image of the tree with branches, the fruit, the protector of the fruit. It's all in the seed. You hold it in your hand, you can hardly see it. It's all in it. When Hashem gave the man the ability to bring souls to the world, in a drop of seed is everything in it. It's very holy. That's why a person is not in charge of everything that God gave him. For instance, a person is alive, but he's not the boss of his life. If I was the boss on my life, I had permission to commit suicide. Wouldn't be a sin. Yes, I understand that you don't want me to murder others because I interfere with your creation and I'm becoming God. But what do you care if I kill myself? I don't want to live. I don't want to live. Let me kill myself. It's not a sin. It's a murder. Someone who commits suicide is a regular murder. That's why he cannot be buried in a section with all the righteous Jews. He has to have a separate section. You don't have permission to decide to terminate life of yourself. Same thing, seed. No permission for anybody to waste it. It's the property of God. Only He owns it. It's true that the man is a partner in a system, but if he makes the wrong choices, there's a very heavy price to pay. The Torah says in Yerushalayim, they don't let the children of the deceased person enter the cemetery. They don't. They come all the way to the gate, they stop the family, the Chevrat Kadisha take the body, and they bury them. They don't let them enter. Why? Because the Zohar says that it's enough that one time the man wasn't holy and he wasted this potential to bring souls for no reason against the laws of God. Each time is millions of souls in one drop. Millions of souls. The scientist proves it. Each one is a soul that creates a bad angel. Potential, a spiritual thing that has life now. And they're all waiting to take revenge against this person in the day of his funeral, from now on. And when they see his children, they're very angry. That's how it works. The Zohar, it's Kabbalah, it told us the secrets. They get so angry that sometimes they can damage his real children. That's why they don't let them into the cemetery. And a cemetery is a very impure place. That's why they don't let pregnant women go inside and other things. And when you go out, you need to do netilah for many times to get rid of the impurity of the cemetery. And the Gemara described that some of the people who wanted to know the future, they used to go and fast for 3 days without food, and they lay on a grave, and they begin to communicate with the spirits of the dead people, and they know what's going to happen tomorrow in the stock market. It's not a joke. Some of the people, the Gemara described their names, they knew tomorrow oil going down, tomorrow oil go up. Why? Because the spirits knows ahead of time, before us. Why they know the future and we don't know? Because they already finished their test. They don't have a free choice. Why Hashem didn't make us able to detect the future? Why we don't know what's going to happen in a week from now? Because if you know your future, it eliminates your free choice right away. You don't have a free choice. If you know, you live for sure until age 90. What's the rush to be righteous, Rabbi? Let's go to the casino for another 20 years. Let's go to the beach. Let's make sins as much as we want. Age 89 and 10 months, 2 months before the end, I join you in the yeshiva. If you still be around, Rabbi, believe me, I'll take all the millions that I made. I'll build you a beautiful yeshiva. How many DVDs you want? Just tell, name it. Here, 2 million DVDs is good enough. Here is a check. What else do you want, Rabbi? I come to the mikveh every hour. Perfect 2 months before he died. He corrected everything. To prevent such stupidity, Hashem made sure we don't know what's going to happen 2 minutes from now. A person gets into his car, he doesn't know, maybe the car explodes. In Israel, it's very popular now. There's so many mafia and criminals were imported from Russia to Israel. Plus the Israelis, unfortunately, without Torah, they make so many accidents, one to the other. So now everyone that has a remote control, he starts the car before he gets into the car. Or they have their bodyguards, which get paid good, to go start the car for them. And it's not a joke. Many of these bodyguards explode to death. What fools. It's like Saddam Hussein, Yimach Shimo Vezichro, he used to have a taster of the food before he used to eat. Come, Mustafa, eat. Mustafa, eat a little bit, then Saddam eats. In the end, it didn't help him. What is it? Nobody knows what's going to happen with him. There was one guy, I'll tell you a few stories, and then we finished. His name is Eliyahu. He was in a kibbutz. He lives like a goy. In a kibbutz, they don't really know that much, most of the kibbutzim. The rabbi say, listen, Eliyahu, you are a farmer and you have a lot of cows and your cows give birth to calves. And these calves, the firstborn is holy. Cannot use it. It belongs to the Kohen. So we know that you're not going to give those calves. It's thousands of dollars. So we have a trick for you. What's the trick? We want you, like the same trick that we do with the chametz of Pesach. We sell it to the goy, right? So the goy put $1 down, or $10, whatever the rabbi can get out of him. And then the goy has a due date where he has to bring the rest of the money. If he doesn't bring the money by then, not retroactive, from now on, the property goes back to the ownership of a Jew. So that means that since the goy doesn't bring the money for the rest of the chametz that he bought, the sale is reversed from now on, not retroactive. If it's retroactive, then we have all the sins of Pesach. From now on, it goes back to the ownership of the Jew. It's like the Jew went back and bought it back from him. Now, so they told this kibbutznik, Eliyahu, the goy will give you a few dollars down, you make a contract, and he has, by 10 months from now, he has to bring the rest of the money. If he brings the rest of the money, I don't know, $1 million for all your cows, he'll take them. You make a very good business. What do you care? If he doesn't bring, from then on, they're going to be yours. What are we doing here? Every male born that is born, every firstborn that the cows has, it actually belongs to the goy. And you're raising them, and eventually you will own them, and you don't have to give it to the Kohen. It's like you bought it from the goy. Perfect deal, right? Okay. So this Eliyahu say, rabbis, does it make you happy? It makes me happy. Bring the papers. So they signed the papers. The goy was supposed to come give the money. It was tomorrow. In the meantime, in the middle of the night, one of the cows gave birth to a calf.
too late already. Why? Because the goy didn't bring the money yet. So now this calf has to go to the Kohen. So the rabbi comes to him and says, Eliyahu, there is an accident in the plan. We didn't know that you're going to have overnight a calf. You didn't tell us that this cow is about to give birth. So he said, okay, what can we do? He said, there's nothing you can do with this calf. You have to give it to the, you cannot use it, you cannot enjoy it, you cannot get milk from it, nothing. It's not yours. So what happened? The kibbutznik told the rabbi, as long as it didn't cost me money, I wanted to make you happy. Now you want me to give out $1,000? Go to your wife, rabbi, go. Leave me alone. That was the deal. What happened the next day? That calf died. That's common. If you have 100 calves born, some of them die in the first few days. It's normal. So this calf died. So the rabbi, he called up the rabbi, Eliyahu the kibbutznik. He said, Rabbi, you jinxed my cow? The calf died. The rabbi said, oh, Baruch Hashem, but make sure you cannot touch the, you cannot give the calf to the dogs or to the animals that you have in your farm to eat. And you cannot enjoy the skin of it. You cannot enjoy from the animal. Why? It's Bechor. It's holy. The Torah say, every animal that is born, the oldest one, the first one that came out of the womb of the mother, it's holy. Don't touch it. So he said to the rabbi, Rabbi, leave me alone. I'm throwing it. He has a cliff right where, by his farm. He has a cliff. He pushed the calf bodies from the cliff and he goes all the way down to the rocks. Boom, you hear a boom. And what happened? The coyotes, they're all coming overnight and they eat it. Since he had hundreds of cows, almost every day, one or two calves were dying. Almost every day. Listen to this story. So what happened? So every day, push calves from the cliff, instead of bringing it into the truck, take it to some place. Like this is a very easy way. He push it from the cliff. The next day, the coyotes eat everything. After a week, he threw about six or seven animals there already. He went down. Now, when the calf was born, the rabbi came with special, it makes like a special tattoo, like a burner. They burn the ear of the calf, and it makes a mark. So like a star or something that you know this is a bechor, a firstborn. The kibbutznik, which is anti-religion, he doesn't know anything about religion. He goes down, he sees all the bodies of all the calves that he threw, only bones. Not one inch of meat left. One body is completely brand new. No, they didn't touch it. He checked the ear of that calf. What was it? That was the first bone that was born. The coyotes didn't touch it. The guy called up the rabbi and said, I can't believe this is a magic here, what happened here. You have to come, quick. The rabbi comes, they go down, he says, see, look at them. All of them are regular calves that die. The one that was born first, even the animals know it's holy, they didn't touch it. Take me, I want to put tefillin. Today is a big rabbi in Israel. This Eliyahu, the kibbutznik. This is what David HaMelech said in Tehillim. Yada shor koneu, V'chamor evus ba'alav. The animals, sometimes they know things that happen. They took a horse. They wanted to do an experiment. They put a sack on his head. And they brought the horse to be with his mother. Now the horse doesn't know. You know there's a female horse. What do they know? He has a sack on his head. In the middle of the act, they took the sack off his head and he saw that it's his mother. It's a horse! What happened to the horse? He started to run. This is in Midrash Talpiot, that story. The horse started to run for hours. He got to a cliff and committed suicide, a horse. Why? He just made a scene with his mother. It wasn't intentional. But even for that, the horse couldn't live another minute knowing what he did. You have filthy people in this world. They're doing worse things and they live perfectly fine with this. Perfectly fine. The Torah says, and this is a warning for the ladies. You don't want to miss this. The Torah said, if a person made a sin with an animal,
What happened to the animal? You stoned the animal to death. Poor animal. Animal got raped by a psycho. Not only the animal had a tragedy and the life of the animal was destroyed. Now you take the animal, you take rocks, you kill the animal, you throw the animal from the cliff, and you're not allowed to enjoy from the body of this animal. Comes Chazal and says, this is a wake-up call for all of us. Just have to use your head. Come Chazal, say, poor animal, never committed one sin in the life of the animal. Just because a Jewish male, an idiot, a psycho, a sick person, filthy mind, made a sin with an animal, Hashem couldn't stand the sin. He said, get rid of this animal. I don't want to see any memory from this animal. Because of an animal, one of my children lost his world to come. Tragedy. Get rid of the animal. I don't want to see anything, any souvenirs to remind me of what happened, of this tragedy. What's going to happen with the ladies that make the men make sins? Chazal says, what's going to happen? If the animal that never committed a sin, that was the end of the animal. A woman that seduced people and go with her clothes and do all the things and call them and let's go out to have a drink. I'm depressed today. My husband didn't come home for 3 days. All kinds of stupid things that I hear sometimes. What's going to happen to them? That's what Chazal says, not me. It's called Kal Vachomer. Needless to say, the animal that didn't commit sin had such a terrible end. For one time, go and check what's happening all over the world today. It's needless to say, if Hashem is so angry about an innocent animal, how angry it's in our brothers and sisters that making these sins every day. How angry. So you may ask me, so why doesn't stone them right away? Hashem doesn't punish instantly. And he also doesn't reward us instantly. It's all in the end. The calculation is after you leave this world. Then you're going to have to pay or earn according to what you did. Rav Aaron Kotler came to America and established Lakewood Yeshiva. The biggest yeshiva in the world. This and Mir in Israel, it's very thousands of students. What's so special about him? Before he came from Europe to United States, he had a huge dilemma. Should I go to United States or I should finally go to the Holy Land? If I'm already moving out of my country, maybe I should just make an aliyah. Why should I go to the exile again? That was his dilemma. He had a friend here in America, in Lower East Side, in Manhattan. His name was Rav Moshe Feinstein, one of the biggest tzaddikim that we had in our time. Big Talmid Chacham, big genius, modest, perfect human being. I have hundreds of stories. If I had time, I would tell you them. You wouldn't believe that this is a person. It's an angel. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to beg him, come, come to America. We need more people like you here. We have a lot of Jews here that need big rabbis here to establish communities. He didn't know what to do. So there is something that the rabbis know how to do. It's called Goral Agra. It's almost like lottery. But the difference is that lottery, you don't have control in it. Over here, it's with your hands. You open the Torah in a certain page, and you make a special prayer before, and whatever comes on the right side of the page, that means Hashem wants to give you a real message. So he didn't know what to do. What should I do, Hashem? Should I go to Israel? Should I go to America? That's going to affect my entire life. Who knows? He opened up the Torah. Guess what came out? Lech etzel Moshe. The Torah says, it's a part that Hashem speaking to Aaron and speaking, go to Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein is begging him, come to me. The Torah came, Lech etzel Moshe. That's what came out. He came to America. Today, we see the results. Everything you see in America, every synagogue, every yeshiva, every religious guy that walks in the street, he has a share in him. Rav Aaron Kotler. But who made Rav Aaron Kotler what he is? His grandson is the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood. Who made him what he is? One Russian Jew, ignorant from Russia. He came to Israel. Before he came to Israel, him and his wife in Russia used to save a little money every month. There was no televisions to buy for every room. There was no vacations on Passover. There was no $3,000 camps for the summer for the kids. There was no, they didn't know what to do with the money. Plus, the people used to be a little bit more devoted for the fortune of the Jewish nation. So they put aside a few hundred rubles every month. After years, they had an X amount of money. They came to the rabbi, listen to this story. They came to the rabbi and say, Rabbi, we have X amount of money. We're not expert where to invest the money. Can you tell us what to do with the money? The rabbi say, Mishamayim, you came to me. I'm just breaking my head how to send two young kids from yeshiva to the yeshiva of Slovotka. Even though they're very young, they such genius. They have such potential, those two kids, that I just need the money for the train, for the trip, to give them X amount of money until they settle in Slovotka in the yeshiva. This is exactly what I need. I promise you, if you give the money to transfer those two students from the small yeshiva to the biggest yeshiva, you will never regret that. So, Rabbi, you the boss. Here is the money. Do what you understand. How do we know that story? In Israel, there's a street called Allenby. You heard about Allenby Street? All the stores, you buy clothes there, suits, bags, press, you know, restaurants. Allenby, it's a famous street in Tel Aviv. One religious guy walked into the store, and he see the owner of the store has a little yarmulke. He doesn't look anything ultra-Orthodox. But in the store, there are two younger people, long beard. They learning Torah. You see right away, the holy people, these two guys. He asked this guy, who are these two righteous guys? He said, my sons. The guy said, what? They're your sons? How can it be? He say, what is your merit that you have two sons like this? So the old Russian guy say, if I have to guess, I have only one thing. When I was in Russia with my wife, we save X amount of money. And the rabbi told me there are two students that don't have the money to go to yeshiva, and we gave him the money. And he transferred them to the yeshiva. So if I had to guess, maybe Hashem did for me measure for measure. I sent two kids to learn Torah, and Hashem got my two children to become Talmidei Chachamim, big rabbis like this. Very holy guys. Because I didn't make them holy. The guy asked him, tell me the name of those guys that you sent to yeshiva. I don't remember. He said, please, try to remember. He's thinking. He tells him, oh, I have the names. What's the name? Rav Aaron Kotler and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the two biggest rabbis in the world, goes to this Russian owner of the store in Allenby. If you see him in the street, you wouldn't say hello to him. I'm a tzaddik. Are you telling me hello? Million like you, he puts in his pocket. Why? A few thousand dollars, whatever it was. Nobody knows the amount. It's a famous story. What's the potential of every Jew to do in life? Same thing, you can save millions of people with few dollars. You can ruin the whole world with few dollars. One bad website you put, how many Jews fall into the trap? Like this few Imach Shimam that made that website for married people to go make sins together. Imach Shimam v'zichram. For religious people that are embarrassed to go make sins on the street, they brought them a place where they can go and make sins. Think about what's going on in this world. Religious, they call themselves religious. They're worse than Nazis. They destroyed the life of Jews. What the Nazis did? They destroyed the body. They couldn't destroy the souls. The Torah says, Gadol amachti'o yoter mi'orgo. A Jew
that makes another Jew commit sins is worse than someone who physically murdered him. The word of the Torah, it's not an exaggeration. You shot somebody in the hand, you kill him. He's 20 years old. You took 50 years of his life. He should have lived to age 70. 50 years of his life you took. It's a big tragedy. 50 years of the life of a person. The Torah say that's nothing compared to taking him with you on Shabbat to the club in Manhattan. What he's going to do that night over there is worse than to kill him. If you hate him, kill him. If you love him, kill him, actually. It's less than take him to the club or take him to eat non-kosher in Main Street or somewhere. Gadol ha-machti'o yoter min ha-orgo. Someone who makes him sin is worse than killing him. In Judaism, there's something amazing that I never understood. If you kill a person that is 120 years old, he would die in a week anyway. He lived. He has grandkids already. Seven generations in his life, they're playing backgammon with him on a rug. 120 years old. He used to visit the Ben Ishcha in Baghdad in 1880. Big deal, you killed him. He would die anyway. Or you killed an 18 years old guy, same punishment. Where is the justice? This guy would die anyway. He's finished. He's a broken tool in bed. He cannot move. The other one should have lived another 100 years. 18 years old. You compare taking 100 years of life or taking a day or two? How can you compare? The answer is, and we'll finish with this, the answer is 1 second of a life of a Jew. You shorten the life of the Jew by 1 second, the punishment is already execution. 1 second! He should have died at 2:02. You killed him 2:02, 2 seconds before. 2 seconds! What could he do? He say another 2 words. You shorten his life by another few seconds, it's called a complete murder. Complete murder. If 2 witnesses saw it, they execute the person in the Jewish court. Everything more than these 2 seconds is only extra. You don't need 10 years, 20 years, 100 years. It doesn't matter anymore. Because already for 1 second, you're already guilty. The rest, it's like somebody who killed one person or killed 1,000. If they execute him in Iran, it doesn't really matter anymore how many times they can execute him. So for the first body, he gets death penalty. If he killed 1,000,000, same punishment. But in Shamayim, that's not the way it is. If you kill somebody age 18, it's worse than killing somebody age 100. For sure it's worse, because Hashem see all the outcome, all the results of it. It's not so simple. Not so simple at all. The Maharil Midiskin went to visit his aunt. She was an old woman in a hospital connected to all kinds of pipes, hose. She cannot go to the bathroom. She has a diaper. An old woman. When he walked into the hospital, into the room, he almost vomited from the smell in the room. He couldn't breathe. But he came all the way to visit his aunt. After years, he didn't see her. From far away, remember, it wasn't like today, you buy a $200 ticket and 2 hours later you're there. It's weeks until you get there. Finally he arrived, he came to visit her. Before he left, she said, "My dear nephew, give me a blessing that I should live long life." He couldn't hold his curiosity. He said, "Hey, you want to live? With all the respect, if I would be you, I would ask somebody to give me a blessing to go already to heaven. Who wants to be in this room like this?" She told him every 2 weeks, the nurse is showing up. It wasn't like today. You press the button, 5 nurses come. "Yes, can I help you? Which channel you want?" Was it? I'm talking 78 years ago. Every 2 weeks, the nurse shows up. And what happened? She changed my diaper, and until the next time I make my bathroom,
I have about 2 hours that I'm clean. I can pray to Hashem. I can read Tehillim and talk to Hashem. Why are you telling me it doesn't work to leave? 4 hours a month to talk to Hashem? You want me to lose this? He was one of the biggest rabbis in the world. In his mind, he said, I wish I would die instead of her. She said, I have 4 hours to talk to Hashem. We have 40, 50 hours every week to talk to Hashem. What do we do with that? Oh, I missed the show. I hope they have a replay. Express ticket to heaven. How can I miss the soap opera, Rabbi? No, they have a show today. Somebody will win $1 million. There's the NBA final. Oh, you know why nobody came to the lecture? There was a game that night. Hashem is very impressed. His children watching, five, I don't want to say what, jumping to put a piece of leather inside the net. How could we live without it? What life would be without it? Jews, the children of Hashem, screaming, yes! Hours a month. When I read the story, I got shocked. Just people knew the importance of life. I have an opportunity to be close to Hashem for 2 more hours. 2 weeks I'm suffering for those 2 hours. We have it in our pocket all the time. You know when we're going to need it? When it's going to be too late. When people die, what's the first thing they say to Hashem? Give me another chance. Give me 1 more week to go back. I said in my video, I have 3 DVDs I put for you over there, if you still have left there. In the last hour of the movie, I used an example of a guy that is 70 years old, and he made $100 million. And he's in a hospital, he has cancer, and he's about to die every hour, any hour. Come a Chinese doctor, Mr. Lee, come like this. He say, hey, Mr. Cohen, I have the cure for your problem. Here it is. See? It cost me $1 to make. Nobody knows the ingredients. I am the only one who knows. Say, okay. I'm willing to give it to you and you get up like brand new. The cancer disappeared in 1 hour. We don't know how long you're going to live. It's up to God. 1 day, 1 week, 1 year. Only God knows. So Mr. Cohen said, Mr. Lee, you the Mashiach. Bring it. No, let me drink. Business is business. He takes out all his papers. The lawyer jumps from the closet. Sign here. 15 hours. By the time he finished to sign, he died anyway. sign here. Where you forgot here. There's an affidavit. There's an amendment. There's an attachment. Sign here. Okay. Oh, sign the pen. The ink is finished already. After Mr. Cohen signed 500 times on the papers, he asked him, Mr. Lee, what am I signing for? He said, I checked carefully your bank accounts. I know you have $100 million. You just signed all your wealth to be wired into my account in China. But I'm a very generous and honest guy. I left you $1 million. I only took $99 million. You confirm or not? What do you think Mr. Cohen would do? He kissed his hand. I confirm. Peck left me $1 million. I have enough to live. Baruch Hashem. Thank you very much. So what's the conclusion of this story? Before I tell you the conclusion of the story, speaking about the lawyer that came out of the closet, one woman called the carpenter. She told him, I have a problem. Every time the bus passes by my street, the doors of the closet opens up. No matter what I do, I cannot control it. Can you come check the closet? The guy comes with his tools. He says, you know what? I don't see any problem from the outside. It's probably I have to look from the inside. So do you mind if I go into the closet? I want to close it, and I want to wait until the bus is passing by. Like this, I see what happened when the bus is coming. I want to see where the problem comes from. She said, go ahead, go into the closet. 5, 10 minutes is inside the closet. Bad luck. Her husband didn't feel good. He comes home from work. Saying, darling, make me a cup of tea. I'm going to the bedroom. He comes into the bedroom. The bus passed by.
The closet opens up. You see the carpenter standing inside. What are you doing inside the closet? He say, if I tell you I'm waiting for a bus, you would believe me?
So, Mr. Cohen just gave $99 million. Maybe he would live another day. Maybe. No, but no guarantee. Maybe the doctor is fooling him, Mr. Lee. So anyway, the conclusion of that story is scary. A person works 50 years to make $100 million. He killed himself. Running, convention, meetings, neglecting his wife, his children. His children don't learn Torah because of him. He goes here and there and courts and fighting, and he becomes sick. Who knows how much problems he has all his life just to save $100 million. And in the end, he gave it all to buy one more day of life. 50 years of life he had for free. He didn't do anything with that. When he's about to lose it, he's willing to buy one more day for $100 million. What a fool. Bad businessman. Where were you all this life? You had those days for free. What did you do with that? I had to work. Who's going to feed my children if I don't go to work 16 hours a day, Rabbi? You want a lot of money for your yeshivas, Rabbi. It's very hard. Plus, you know, I have to admit, you know, I need sushi twice a day. I need 5 steaks every day. You know, my gym, 15 televisions in a house, 5 cars in the driveway, a new house in Florida. How can I live without it, Rabbi? Cannot go to heaven without 2 houses. That's rule number one in Olam Haba. How many houses you had? How big is your belly? The Zohar say it doesn't pay to die fat. Preparing you. If you don't want to do diet in your life, make sure before you leave you do. Why? It takes longer for the worms to eat the body. It's not a joke. And the soul of the person is connected to the body until the last worm finishes the last bite. Only when the body dissolves completely, the soul has a little bit of peace of mind, besides all the other problems. But at least the connection to the body is over. Bezrat Hashem, first of all, again, I want to thank Chazak for organizing this lovely evening, and Torah Anytime, of course, is always helping, and Bet Gavriel. We've been doing lecture for years, Baruch Hashem, here. And I just have one request from each one of you. Baruch Hashem, many of you came here tonight. I want, and many people will hear it on the website, Baruch Hashem, I want to ask a personal favor from each one of you. Not money, nothing scary. I want each one of you and those people who hear me tomorrow, next week, next year on the website to guarantee to me, if you agree, that you transfer the website address to at least 10 Jews that doesn't have it. That's all. Forward, make phone calls to your aunt, to your cousin, to your neighbor, to the lawyer that you're dealing with, to the receptionist in your office. You know 10 Jews? I'm sure you do. 10 Jews multiply thousands of people who watch divineinformation.com, TorahAnytime.com, Chazak Organization, the website, Pure Torah Anytime. There's a lot of good websites. If you transfer those websites that you know to 10 minimum, if you want to do 100, it's even better, but 10 minimum, just next month, we're going to have hundreds of more new Baalei Tshuva, from experience, I tell you. Every extra 100 that will watch it, at least a third of them will become Shomer Shabbat. And it's going to count to your account. The best investment you ever made. How long does it take to do it? 1 second. Forward to all your list. Finished. It's a hard request. Very easy, no? And plus, when you send it to the other people, write in the email or in the phone call, I urge you and or beg you to send it to all the Jews that you know. That's all. If we're going to do it, it's going to get to thousands of new people every month. We can make a revolution. There's many Jews live in the darkness. They don't know what religion is. As soon as you begin to talk to them, a month later you don't recognize them. And I tell you one last story that happened right here on Main Street 2 months before Shavuot.
I went to Tov Ve'Ametiv. I wanted to buy Bukhari and bread. Whenever I come, there's not enough there. Bukharians, they always come before me. What can I do? So I come there to the store, hoping maybe I'm going to get one or two. I see two guys. One recognized me from the website, and the other one doesn't. I speak to the one who recognized me a few minutes, and see the other guy is not religious. What do I do when I see a not religious guy? A doctor that sees someone sick, what does he do? He begins to check his pulse, no? I ran right away into my car, I brought a DVD. Right there on the table. Torah and Science. I gave him the DVD. He's not religious. He learned in the best university in the United States. The best. With a bright future. Smart person. Doesn't know Hashem, doesn't know Torah. I gave him the DVD, and I moved on with my life. 2 months later, I invited a bunch of guys to come to my house for Shavuot. We learn all night together. We daven in the house, everything. We have a shul in my house. Baruch Hashem, everything worked out like heaven. An hour before Yom Tov starts, they arrived. I open up the door. I see a familiar face, but you know, I see thousands of people. I don't remember where I know the guys from. The guy sees me. Oh, it's you? I didn't know to which rabbi I'm going to. I know you. I thought he knows me from the lecture. Only in the dinner, I just realized by talking to him where I know him from. That's the guy I gave him the DVD. Fully religious now. Fully religious. Taking me, Bezrat Hashem, to the college to give lectures to hundreds of Jewish students. $1 this DVD cost. I know the Jew that donated it. And I know the Jew that helped me to make the movie. Accidentally sitting here. This guy, already it was worth it for him to live 7 years in this life with torture and suffering and aggravation just for that moment. That this bright Jew became Shomer Shabbat and now is already becoming a speaker to make other Jews religious. Worth it or not? So if you cannot donate money, at least send it to every Jew you know. Thank you very much and good night.